Good evening, everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. As I was studying this week in chapter 1 through chapter 5 of the book of Mark, I saw the great and the powerful authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In chapter 1, we see that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus then begins his earthly ministry in the area of Galilee, located on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. He began teaching, preaching, healing all kinds of sick people and casting out devils of those who were demon-possessed. Great multitudes began to follow him. Upon studying these first five chapters of the book of Mark, I see Jesus as one that displays and has divine authority and power. Tonight we are going to look at five things in which Jesus demonstrates his supreme authority and power over. Number one, in Mark chapter 2, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark, and we'll begin in chapter 2. In chapter 2, we see Jesus' divine authority over power We see Jesus' divine authority and power over sin. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in this house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, as he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they laid down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Here in this passage of Scripture, we see an amazing thing displayed. And it's not that the men were so persistent that they broke up a roof to get the man to Jesus. The amazing thing that was on display was the healing power of Jesus to both forgive sin and heal the man of his disease, of his paralyzed condition. Anyone can say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, but the real test is for the paralyzed man to rise up and walk. But only God possesses the ability to make either happen. Jesus is proving that he is the Messiah, God in the flesh. Look with me further to see God's power over sin to the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. In Romans 5:1, we read, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now skip down with me to verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one's misobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We see here in this passage this superabounding reign of grace over sin. Only through the power of God can sin be overcome and sin be forgiven. It is by God's love, by God's grace, and by God's power. He has the power to forgive sin. And I am so thankful. Aren't you thankful today that Jesus Christ has the power to forgive you of your sins? If not, we are condemned. And we are already dead in our trespasses and our sins, and we are condemned to die. We are already dead, but we're condemned to an eternal death without Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. The sinner is redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We could go on and on about the blood of Jesus, how it cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. We have the imputed righteousness of Christ within us. Why? Because of what he did for us. And the power that he's displayed. It is by God's power that we are redeemed and we are forgiven and we are held righteous in God's eyes. The second thing that we want to look at is that Jesus has total control over nature. Not only does he have control and power over sin, he has control over nature. Turn with me in your Bibles back to the book of Mark and let's go to chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 35. Mark 4, 35, and we'll read to the end of that chapter. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" When I look at this miracle of Christ here out on the sea, first thing I'm thinking of is if I was out on the sea, I wouldn't be able to sleep. You know, I would be seasick. I've been out on the sea where it's been rough and you're going up and down and up and down and up and down. I would have been seasick at that point. But Jesus Christ had, you can tell by the multitudes that had been surrounding him when he was in Galilee, when by the time he came over to this side of the sea, he was exhausted. He was tired. He was showing his humanity. Even though he was God, he was the God-man, he was the Messiah, he was still showing his humanity here. And he was tired, he was exhausted, and he was asleep. And they came in to him, "Master, carest not that we perish?" Another passage says, "How canst thou lie asleep?" And Jesus basically got up and rebuked the winds, and the waves ceased, and the storm calmed down, the sea became as glass, and they saw the mighty power of Christ displayed over nature. They had not seen such great power. Yes, he had healed, he had done this and other things, but even to have power over nature, what a tremendous man. What a tremendous God they were serving and they were with. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the creator of all. He is amazing. So they were truly blessed by being in God's presence here. Even though they thought they were about to die, Jesus calmed that storm down real quick. And they saw God's power and they rejoiced, knowing that they were with somebody who could even, by his words, calm the seas that they rode upon. And they were saved and their lives were spared. The third thing that we see is that Jesus had authority and power over the demonic world. We saw, first of all, he had power over sin. He has power over nature. He also has power over the demonic world. As far as nature, we could go on and on about Daniel in the lion's den, how he closed the mouths of lions. That's power over nature, power over the beast. He had power over different things, over the whale. You know, when he sent the whale to swallow up Jonah, he had power over that whale. So that's part of nature. So we could go on and on about how Christ displayed his power over nature. Third thing we want to look at, though, is Jesus' authority and power over the demonic world. Turn with me now in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Let's begin reading in verse 1. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." Now, in Matthew's gospel, you will see that there are two men that meet him with an unclean spirit. I believe Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel records it because he's focused on this man who then comes back to Christ and acknowledges that Christ is blessed and also lays at the feet of Jesus and sits at the feet of Jesus when others return. There's only one man found there. And I believe this is who the man Mark and Luke are speaking of, this man who returns to give Jesus honor and glory that's due unto him. So let's look now. "And they came," and this verse 2, "and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he had said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him to him that he was that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And then when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all the men did marvel. Here in this passage of Scripture, we have great display of God's power, Jesus' power, over the demons of this world. They, when they saw Jesus, they ran to him, and it says they worshiped him. They literally fell at his feet, knowing that his power was much greater than what kind of power they had. Even though there might have been a legion of them, 6,000 or less, more so, their power was nothing to compared to the power of God. And they fell at his feet. When the demons were taken out of him, when Jesus cast them out of that man, he said, the demons asked, don't throw us into the countryside. Don't just scatter us into the countryside. Put us in that herd of sheep over there. There was about 2,000 head of sheep. And the demons were cast into the swine. And the swine of sheep couldn't handle the insanity. And they committed suicide down a cliff and into the water. Pardon my joke about suicide there. All right. I know I got one of my teens whenever I tell a few little jokes here and there. Oh, brother. I love you. All right. All right. So we see that Jesus displays tremendous power, and the demons bowed in respect and recognized Jesus' authority and his power over them, and recognized Jesus Christ as the Son of the Most High God. Not even the Pharisees and the scribes could see that, but the demons could. In fact, it was the scribes and the Pharisees earlier on that attributed Christ's work and his power to the devil. They actually blasphemed the Holy Spirit by doing that. But the demons recognize Christ's power, and they know that they're no match for him. And he takes care of this man. And this man is blessed. This man, he can't believe what has done, what has been done for his life. He was hopeless. He was possessed by a legion of demons. He was hopeless. And now he's been freed by the power of Christ to go out and live a normal life again. Go back to his hometown and live again without having to be dwell amongst the tombs and the dead people and all that stuff. And he now could go home and rejoice that he had his sanity back. What a blessing he received here. And he didn't want to leave Jesus. You see in the passage there, he wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus told him, go and share what I've done for you. Amongst the cities you dwell and amongst the places you go, you share the blessings that I've given you. And he did so. After, you know, the rest of the story there, that the townspeople, some of their livelihood was gone. Of those 2,000 herd of those 2,000 pigs, that was some farmer's livelihood there. And they were gone, so the town people, not only were they fearful of God's power that had been displayed, because they see a man who is now whole. They see a man who is now no longer possessed by the devil and by those strong demons, the one who would cut himself with stones. And they see a man who is now clothed. He was naked, but now he's clothed and sitting at Jesus' feet. And they are amazed. But they also know, we've never seen anything like this in this country. This was a Gentile area where they were, in the Gadarenes. This was a Gentile area, and they had never seen anything like this. And all they wanted to do was see Jesus gone. They were fearful of him. Not only that, he had taken away some of their money by doing what he did. Now, you would think pigs wouldn't be as valuable as a man's life, wouldn't you? But to them, that wasn't the case. You know, they saw that as money in the bank, bacon on the table. And Brother Jason says, yeah, amen. So I love bacon too, my brother. You know, I had this past week, I had some nice BLTs. Yeah, so that was enjoyable. All right. So as Jesus was asked to leave, he was asked to leave by these townspeople. He returned to his boat and once again crossed back over the Sea of Galilee to the other side. The multitudes, again, it didn't take them long to gather and start crowding Jesus again when he was on the other side. They were waiting. So the fourth thing that we kind of mentioned in the introduction is that Jesus has power and authority over sickness and infirmities. Turn with me in your Bibles. You're there probably in the fifth chapter of Mark. Let's begin reading in verse 25. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. This young lady had been dealing for 12 years with some type of bleeding, whether it was menstrual bleeding or hemorrhaging internally. She was dealing with some pain and discomfort and agony for 12 years. She had been to the doctor. She had done all that she could knew to do, but she had received no help. And it was growing worse. It was getting worse. And she felt, and she was, hopeless. You ever felt hopeless? Where nothing can help me. Nothing can solve these problems that I'm under. I'm hopeless. If you're a child of God, you have help. Jesus Christ is the same today as He was then. He can help you. We're going to be talking a little bit about that in a moment. But this lady felt like there was no hope. And it's strange that Jesus would ask, when you have a huge crowd of people, you know, pressing against you, you have this huge crowd, and Jesus asks, "Who touched me?" Well, they're pressing against Him from everyone's direction. But Jesus knew that there was one who was healed, that His power went out of Him, and He healed one. Jesus knew who it was, too. He didn't even really have to ask, "Who touched me?" He could have signaled her out. But her faith came and laid at the feet of Jesus, and she shared what she had been going through with Christ. And He healed her of that disease and that infirmity that she had. And He had power over that sickness and that disease that she had. And she went away cleansed and made whole by a Christ who had mercy on her, who had compassion on her, even though it was just a touch from her hand on a piece of His garment. This was great, great power that Jesus displayed here. Fifthly and lastly, then we want to see Jesus' authority and power over death. Jesus' authority and power over death. Mark chapter 5 again, verses 21 through 24. Mark 5, verses 21 through 24, and then we'll continue on 35 through 43. Mark 5, 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship on the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Him, he fell at His feet, and besought Him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed Him and thronged Him. Now let's go down to verse 35. While He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the Master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And He suffered no man to follow Him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when He was come in, He saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed Him to scorn. But when He had put them all out, He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with Him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And He took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment, and he charged them straitly, no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. We see that a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus had a very sick child, someone he loved very dearly. She was 12 years old, and she was about to die. And he goes and pleads at the feet of Jesus, come to my house and save my daughter's life. After they had been pressed about by the throng of people, and this woman who had been cured of her 12 years of infirmity, now someone else from the household of Jairus comes. Jairus, don't trouble the master any longer. Your daughter died. Now, I'm sure at this time, Jairus' heart was just heartbroken. He was grieving. He was saddened by this news of his daughter dying. Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew what he was going through. He knew his pain and suffering at this time. And Jesus said to him, be not afraid, only believe. Jesus continues on to his house. He removes the ones who are wailing and creating a show. He removes them from where the dead body is. He only takes Peter and a few of them up, Peter, James, and John, and he goes up. Just simply takes the little girl by the hand. She raises up in newness of life. She's made alive. That which was dead, she's now alive. That's what Christ does for the sinner. We lay there dead with no hope. Jesus comes. He takes us by the hand. He pours out his life to us. Shows us who he is. Shows us our need for a Savior. And he shows us that he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And he brings that dead to life and newness of life. He raises this young girl up to life. And they are all just crying at this time, at this point. You know their joy. There was joy of sorrow. Now there's joy of celebration. For that which was dead is now alive. Their precious little girl is now alive. And they're just so thankful for what Jesus has done. And so thankful that Jesus had power over death. Aren't you thankful Jesus had power over death in your life? If you're a child of God, oh, thank God for his power over death. We serve an amazing God. And we live for an amazing God. Jesus, time and time again, displayed an undeniable truth that all power was given unto him in heaven and in earth. All power was given unto him in heaven and in earth. In this hopeless world that we live in, I'm certainly glad that we serve a God who has all authority and all power in heaven and in earth. Are you struggling with sin? Acknowledge those before the Lord and be forgiven. Are you battling some storms in your life? Ask Jesus to take control and either calm your soul and carry you through them or calm the storms. Are you struggling with the evil lures of the devil's temptations? Turn to Jesus, whose spirit is much more powerful and can conquer any temptation that you may be struggling with. Are you battling illness, chronic pain, discomforts? Ask Jesus for help. He may heal or he may not, but he will help. It's easier to deal with these issues with Jesus comforting and guiding along the way than going it alone. We need, as we sung this morning in our worship service, we need to tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. Tell it to Jesus. Are you dying? Truthfully, we all are. It's just a matter of time. But even if we are facing death, ours or a loved one's, we have this blessed assurance found in Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But while we're still, while we still have life and breath, let's live that life for the honor and glory of our great Lord and our Savior, the one who has all power in heaven and in earth. Let us live for him.